Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Where are we in our study of the Bible on the Beacon Broadcast these days? If you are a regular listener, you know that we are in the book of Ecclesiastes. Not the sort of book that is frequently studied. In all likelihood, many of you have never been involved in a study of the book of Ecclesiastes before. It is a puzzling book. It is sometimes difficult to figure out and to understand exactly what it is that the author Solomon is trying to say to us and how to reconcile some of the seemingly contradictory parts of the book and other parts that are just very, very puzzling. And because of this, it is often ignored, overlooked. After all, there's a whole big Bible there with 66 books, and there's plenty of other books to keep us occupied, and we can find profitable and more easily understood truth in other portions of God's Word, so maybe it's not so important that we study the book of Ecclesiastes. But what does the Spirit of God say? All Scripture. Not some, not part. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and this may be the more relevant part, and is profitable. All is profitable. And so Ecclesiastes is profitable, and therefore God in His wisdom directed Solomon by the inspiring work of the Holy Spirit to write this book, and God in His wisdom by the compiling work of the Holy Spirit included this book in the Bible. And therefore, God expects His people to study, not to overlook, the book of Ecclesiastes, which is what we intend to do as we continue on. Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday, November 11, and many, many thanks to those whose financial gifts keep us teaching God's Word on the station. The first half of Ecclesiastes chapter 7, which is where we are now, gives four items that we need to add to our lives in order to give them, our lives that is, greater value. And the last one is wisdom, godly wisdom. And the last half of the chapter expands upon that theme of wisdom and tells us several aspects of godly wisdom to apply to our lives. And the first two of the four we have already covered. That is, first of all, wisdom concerning religion, and secondly, wisdom concerning human relationships. And now, today, we come to section three, which is wisdom concerning human sexuality. And here's what we read in verses 23 and following. All this I have proved by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. As for that which is far off and exceedingly deep, who can find it? I applied my heart to know, to search and seek out wisdom and the reason of things, to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness, and I found more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, whose hands are fetters. He who pleases God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be trapped by her. Solomon's investigation concerning human sexuality and wisdom regarding human sexuality. Now, actually, the first three verses which you wondered when I was going to get to something that had to do with sexual matters, human sexuality, as I was reading this section, verses 23 through 26. And I really didn't get anything into anything that sounded like human sexuality until I came to verse 26, and that is exactly correct. Because verses 23, 24, and 25, in a sense, are Solomon reiterating his purpose for writing the book and his investigation, his investigatory techniques. And so in verse 23, he tells us that he was thorough and it was a humbling experience. All this I have proved by wisdom. I said I will be wise, but it was far from me. Isn't that interesting? The Bible tells us that Solomon was one of, if not the wisest man who ever lived. That God gave him an extra measure of wisdom. God supernaturally endowed Solomon with wisdom. He asked for it, and God gave it to him. Now, we look at his life, particularly some of the snares that he fell into in this area of human sexuality is certainly one of them. And we say, he doesn't seem very wise to me, and that's true. And there's a number of explanations for that. I think we would agree that he was evidently much wiser in his earlier reign than he was in his latter reign as a king. I think we would say that he became careless. He started out well because he focused on God, the very things he's teaching us in the book of Ecclesiastes. He focused on God and made God first in his priorities, and then his heart was drawn away. And he became foolish. He who was wise became foolish. So how do we explain all that if God gave him a special endowment of wisdom? Well, one thing we can say is that wisdom acquired is not necessarily permanent. Wisdom acquired has to be maintained. It has to be cultivated. It has to continue to be valued throughout our lifetime, or we do lose it. It's kind of like, an automobile, let's say. Automobiles certainly have improved a great deal over the years. I can remember when I was a young boy, a teenager, and got my driver's license and couldn't wait to purchase my first automobile, and I won't go into all of that now, except to say that it required, it was a simple machine in many ways, but it certainly wasn't as dependable as cars are today. And eventually, the thrill rod blew up the engine, and that was the end of it. It wasn't worth fixing. I've never had that happen to any car since, but that happened to that 1959, and I won't give you the make and the model, but that's what it was, an automobile that was manufactured in 1959. I purchased it. I'm going to have to stop and think. I think I purchased it in about 1965 or 66, so it was only 5 or 6 years old at that time. But in those days, that car was pretty old. Now we buy cars that are 5 or 6 years old, and they're in excellent condition. We drive them for another 100,000 miles or two because they're made so much better. But here's my point. I don't want to get too sidetracked here. Even the best car, if it is not properly maintained, will not stay a dependable automobile forever. In fact, none is going to stay that way forever, but some last exceedingly long if you will take good care of them. If you purchase an automobile that is well made, has a reputation for quality, and has been maintained before you, if you bought it used, and then you will take good care of it, it's amazing how far it may go. I have one man in my church who had a particular car that he drove 600,000 miles, if I'm not mistaken. I think that was the figure. A ridiculously long period of time. I think he held on to it longer than normally he would because he was just amazed at how far it was going and he wanted to see how far it would go. And it did, and I think I'm right in saying it still had the original engine and transmission. Amazing. Amazing. But only because he maintained it. If he'd been careless, hadn't changed the oil, hadn't checked the oil, hadn't taken care of the car, hadn't given it the maintenance it needed at the proper time, then it would not have lasted that long. It would not have lasted half that long. It would have failed him because it was not maintained. Well, wisdom is a lot the same way. Wisdom is not something that once you have it, you've got it forever, no matter what. Wisdom, after all, is the ability to apply God's truth to everyday life, to the questions, the problems, the difficulties, the challenges, the circumstances of life, and to be able to apply God's wisdom to, God's truth to those areas. And that is wisdom, to be able to do that. And it takes help from God to be able to do that. In the first place, you've got to be able to understand the Bible. If you don't understand the Bible, how are you going to apply God's truth to everyday life? You don't know what God's truth is and how it applies to this particular question. So you have to acquire a good knowledge of the Bible, but again, that's not something that once acquired, it's locked in permanently. Yes, you can acquire a great deal of knowledge, but if you're not renewing it, if you're not reviewing it, if you're not applying it and reapplying it in your life day by day, if you aren't maintaining a close communion with God, then you are going to lose maybe not the facts that you learned about the Bible, but your ability to understand it in a spiritually helpful way and to apply it to the questions of life. And that's what I'm talking about. This is the wisdom that I'm talking about. It needs to be maintained. And so we do see in the life of Solomon that later on in his life he seems to show a great deal of folly instead of wisdom. How did that happen? He didn't maintain it. He didn't keep it up. He didn't cultivate it. He got away from it. He let, as the Bible tells us, he let his foreign wives, of which he had a great many, he let them pull his heart away from the worship of God, and at least to some extent, that we don't understand fully, but to some extent enter into their worship of their idol gods, their false gods. Well, that's a recipe for disaster. He lost wisdom. He had it in a greater measure than probably anybody else ever had it, but he didn't maintain it throughout his whole lifetime in that great measure. He lost a great deal of it because he didn't value it and maintain it the way he should have. That's the explanation. And it's the same for you and for me. If we don't cultivate and maintain the wisdom that God graciously gives us, we will lose it. If you do not use it, you will surely lose it. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.